The scripture reading for this afternoon is Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. Both short psalms. Psalm 127 is where we will begin. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. The text for tonight, or that's how far we read the reading of God's word, and may the Lord bless that reading unto our hearts. The text is verses 3 through 5 of Psalm 127. Verses 3 through 5. Familiar words there. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Psalm 127 teaches us that God is the giver of all that we have. Psalm 127 is a psalm that Solomon wrote to God's people, the Israelites, God's church in the Old Testament. And Solomon wrote this as one who had come to see that God truly is the giver of everything. He saw this as one who was the king of the Israelites. He saw this as one who had led in the building of the temple. In verse 1, that's what Solomon's referring to. He says, except the Lord build the house, that is the temple, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. He's saying the building of the temple would never have succeeded without God. Those workers could have worked forever, for years upon years upon years, but if God did not bless their work, it would never get done. Also, in connection with the guarding of the city, the safety of the city, Solomon's saying here too, God is the one who gives safety to the city. Those guards could watch all night long, and they could do it every night and stay awake every time. But in the end, the only one who could really keep that city safe was God. Only God could give safety. And in verse 2, Solomon teaches that since God is the giver of everything, then the people of Israel and we today really ought not to worry. Certainly we ought to work hard. When verse 2 says it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, it's not saying there, don't do anything, don't work hard. No. What Solomon's saying there is that since God's the giver of everything, depend upon Him. Depend upon Him for all things. He's the one who will provide. He's the one who provided for them as they built the temple. He's the one who provided safety of the city. Depend upon Him. And now in verses 3 through 5, Solomon speaks of another gift that God gives. Verses 3 through 5, Solomon says that God is the giver of every child we have. Lo, children are a great reward. They're a heritage of Jehovah. And notice that word lo at the beginning of the text. God's saying there, take note. This is important. See this and understand it. I, Jehovah God, am the giver of children. We cannot give ourselves children. God gives them. And God's saying there, lo, or He's teaching us, lo, behold, these children are a gift, and they're a wonderful gift. Take note of that. They're wonderful. They're precious. And what an important thing that is to take hold of today. We certainly know deep down children are a great reward, a gift from God, a heritage. But having the old man of sin within us, we can forget this. We can have a wrong view of children, even as a nuisance, view them the way the world often views their children. And that's why we need the reminder of Psalm 127. It's a familiar psalm, but we need this reminder so often. Covenant parents need it every day. Children are a great reward. They are a heritage. Let's be reminded of that this afternoon. Let's consider this text under the theme, Children of the Youth. Children of the Youth. And the first point, let's see that children are an heritage of Jehovah. A heritage of Jehovah. Second, as arrows in our hand. They are as arrows in our hand. And then the third point is the happiness of a quiverful. So children of the youth. Heritage of Jehovah. Arrows in our hand. The happiness of a quiverful. But we begin with where verse 3 begins. Children are a heritage of Jehovah. Verse 3. Now, what does that mean, heritage? A heritage is an inheritance. An inheritance. Though that word heritage in the text, verse 3, is actually often translated in the rest of the King James Version. It's often translated inheritance. Heritage and inheritance come from the same Hebrew verb, same Hebrew word. And an important passage that deals with what a heritage or an inheritance is Exodus 15, verse 17. Exodus 15, verse 17. In this passage, the word inheritance is used, but it's the same word as is used in Psalm 127. And in Exodus 15, verse 17, we have here the song that Moses was singing to the children of Israel. And he was singing to them about what God, their father, had given them. Exodus 15, 17 says, Thou, speaking of God, Thou, O God, shalt bring them in and plant them, that is the children of Israel, plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance or heritage. Thou shalt plant them in thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. There Moses is saying that God, as the father of the Israelites, had given them the land of Canaan for an inheritance. Now, using that verse, let us see three things about a heritage or inheritance. There are three things that must be understood about inheritances or a heritage. In the first place, a heritage or inheritance is something that is passed on from fathers to children. Fathers to children. That's what was happening in Exodus 15. God, the one who was the father of the Israelites through the blood of the Lamb to come, he was their father, he passed down to them his own possession. He owned that land, that precious land of Canaan, and he gave it to his children, the Israelites. And that's how inheritances work today also. Parents pass things down to their children. That's an inheritance or heritage. In the second place, an inheritance or heritage is a special possession. Special possession. God was giving the Israelites his special land, the land of Canaan, where he was going to dwell. It was a land that was rich, flowing with milk and honey. Special. Today, too, when parents give children an inheritance, they do not give them their trash. They give them their special possessions, their good things. In the third place, an inheritance is something that is not earned, but is freely given. The Israelites did not earn that land of Canaan. You can recall the story of Jericho. God gave them the land. He won those victories, knocking the walls down. God gave it to them freely. The same thing is true for inheritances today. The fathers freely pass down gifts to their children. So, inheritances are passed down from fathers to children, and inheritances are special possessions that are passed down, and a heritage or inheritance is something not earned, but freely given. Keep those things in mind now as we look at the truth that children are an inheritance of Jehovah. Those are the words of the text. Children are an heritage of Jehovah. The text makes plain that Jehovah is the giver of this inheritance. Jehovah God. It says they're a heritage of the Lord. That preposition of there is a preposition of source, indicating that Jehovah's the giver. He's the one that passes it down to his children. The verse could read, children are a heritage from Jehovah. The children that he gives for an inheritance are his special elect children. Special elect children. This text says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. What is being taught there is that the children that God gives, these children are the special elect children. And the proof of that is the word heritage or inheritance. Jehovah is not just passing on any children at all. No, that's not what an inheritance is. An inheritance is something that's special. So God is passing down his elect children. That's what the text is speaking of. The elect children he loves in Christ. Now, Jehovah gives these little, elect, special children, he gives them to his children, his adopted sons and daughters. That's what an inheritance is, remember. The proof of that is in the very word. Inheritance is passed on from fathers to children. Well, we are God's children, his adopted sons and daughters, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so God passes on his special possessions, his little elect children, to us. An amazing thing. And that's how Jehovah normally works. He normally gives his precious elect little children to believers, to his adopted sons and daughters. An inheritance, or it is not usual that he would give his special elect children to unbelievers. It's not how he normally works. He normally gives them to believers. And this really is the truth of the covenant. The truth of the covenant, that he gives us, his adopted sons and daughters, his little elect children. We know what the covenant is. The covenant is the relationship of friendship which God establishes with us and with our children. That's Genesis 17, verse 7. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7 makes plain that God is pleased to give his special little children, elect children, to us, establishing that covenant in the line of continued generations. Now, that does not mean that every child that God gives to believers is an elect child. It's not what the covenant means. But often God does give his little elect children to his children. That's how God's pleased to work as the covenant God. That's how he has promised to work. Acts 2 verse 39, the promise is to you and to your children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's how God works, and it's a wonderful thing. Now, as we are talking about the recipients of this inheritance, there's certainly parents, the parents who actually bear these children. Those are the recipients of these wonderful covenant gifts. But Jehovah, really, when he gives a covenant child to believing parents, he's giving this child to all of the members of the church. He's giving them even to a husband and wife who don't have children in this church. He's giving them even to the single member who does not have children. Now, on the forefront in this text is the truth that God's giving this covenant inheritance to the mom and dad. That's on the forefront. Verse 5 says, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." But the children born here are given to all of us, and that the proof of that is found in the truth that we are all united as the body of Jesus Christ, all one in him. So when an elect covenant child is given to one of the members here, that child is really given to all of us for an inheritance. What a wonderful thing it is then when covenant children are born. Praise be to God for the covenant children that we all have right here. That's the truth of the heritage. These children are a heritage. Now, these children, which are God's heritage, they are a gracious reward to us. A gracious reward. Psalm 127, verse 3 says they're a heritage. That first. But then the second half of the verse says, "The fruit of the womb is his reward." A reward that God gives his people is a gracious gift. A gracious gift. Now, when we think of the word reward, when we hear that word, we often first think of it as something that we can earn. Kids, you understand that if you work hard sometimes, maybe at school, your teacher gives you something. You earned that reward. Maybe a piece of candy for working really hard. That's understandable. You work hard, you get something. But listen very closely, that's not how it works when God gives us something. It's different then. It is not as if we've earned anything when God gives it to us, when he gives a reward. We haven't done any work for it, haven't earned it in any way. That's because God is God. He doesn't have to give us anything. And even if we perfectly obey him, which is impossible, but even if we perfectly obeyed him, we would only be doing what we were supposed to do, only be doing what's required, and thus we would not be earning anything. So it's very clear. The rewards that God gives his people are rewards of grace. They're given in his undeserved favor. Rewards of grace, rewards that serve to the good of his people, serve as a blessing to them. Psalm 128 speaks of the great blessing that children are to parents, to covenant parents. So we understand very clearly then that children, the heritage of Jehovah, these children are rewards of grace. The text says the fruit of the womb is his reward. The fruit of a tree is whatever comes forth from the tree or the plant. Well, the fruit of the womb, that is what comes forth from the womb, is a child. So the child is a reward of grace. It's a reward of grace because we have done nothing to earn these covenant children. Nothing to earn this heritage. Just think of the word heritage or inheritance. That shows us we've done nothing to earn them. A heritage or inheritance, remember, is something freely given from father to son. We didn't do anything to earn them. And these children are certainly a reward of grace too, because they truly are blessings. They truly are evidence of God's undeserved favor to us. He gives us his little special children. They're blessings because, we can say our children are blessings because these children are often his elect children. That's how the covenant God works. He gives us his elect children. And these little elect children certainly serve as blessings to parents. We can think of many different ways in which they are blessings. When you teach them, when you search the scriptures to teach them, paging through the word, that's a blessing. These children, these little elect children, they even teach you as they grow older. They teach you certain things, and you also learn dependence upon God. They certainly are blessings. And as we're going to see in this text, in verse 4, these children are blessings because they're like arrows in our hand, serving to the defense of the church, the defense against the enemy. So these children are rewards of grace. Now, it must be noted that godly parents and single members, or godly husband and wife and single members, they too are blessed. Those who are never able to have children of their own, they're still blessed by God. Even apart from children in that marriage bond between a husband and a wife is the reflection of Christ and his church. A wonderful thing. There's definitely a blessing, just in blessing in that. But two, single members, like the Apostle Paul, they're blessed also because they have time. They have more time than many others, and they can devote that time to the things of the kingdom of God. That's a wonderful blessing to them too. But two, understand, as was said before, really the children of the church here belong to every member of the body of Christ. And thus, all the children here are our children, and they are all serving as blessings to us, rewards of grace. So remember that. Now, this truth that the children are a heritage of God, we saw that first, this truth that children are a heritage of God and also now his reward, that determines how we are to view our children. Determines how we are to view them. Children are something to be desired. They're not to be viewed as a nuisance. You can sometimes view them that way in our old man of sin. That's how the world views them. At least many in the world do. They view them as a problem, a nuisance. And that's why the number of children per family today is ever declining in the United States and worldwide. Children are a bother. They make life difficult. They cry five times a night, and you have to get up over and over again. Makes life difficult. Children cost money. They keep parents maybe from going on that nice vacation or for having that cottage on the lake or the new boat. Children may hinder the mother from having the career that she always wanted. Children, many say, are also a nuisance to the environment. There are many in the broader church world today that would even say that it's actually wrong to have more than two children. Because if you have more than that, then you are depleting too quickly the earth's resources. You are being a bad steward, they would say. Sadly, that's the view of many. But we have to look at ourselves. Do we ever view children this way? Do we ever view them as a nuisance and something that's not precious? Confess that that's difficult sometimes. Parenting's hard. Let's understand the very clear word of God tonight. Children are a heritage of Jehovah. Children are a great reward, and thus something to be desired. Something wonderful. We've been reminded of that today so far already. But again, normally the children that God gives are His little covenant children. His little elect children who are washed in the blood of Jesus. Children that God loves so much that He sent His only begotten Son to the cross for those little children. He's given them to you, covenant parents. Think of that. A heritage of Jehovah. Precious. What a privilege it is to bear them. Children too are a reward according to this text. What a privilege it is to receive these gracious gifts of God that serve to our good and the good of the church. It's a reward to have them. So that has application too in the sense that we do not just stash them away then. We do not do whatever we can to get rid of them all the time, bring them somewhere else so we can go have a good time. No, they're to be desired. We want to be with them. They are God's special gifts to us. Heritage and a reward. Remember that. Remember that every day. The Word of God is decisive on this issue. Children are to be desired. But also that children are a heritage of Jehovah and a great reward, it makes very plain that we are to raise them in a certain way. Raise them as God calls us to raise them. These children are God's heritage. We've seen that. That means they're His special possessions. Well, He's given them to us for a time, but ultimately they are His. They belong to the King, God. Now, if they ultimately belong to Him, that says something about what we are to teach them and how we are to teach them. It does. We can sometimes think, oh, I can do with my child what I want to do. It's my child. I'll raise them how I feel like. No. They ultimately belong to God, His heritage. So instruct them as He commands us to instruct them in the fear of His name. The truth that they are a heritage and a great reward certainly teaches us many things about how we are to view them and how we are to raise them. Let's see specifically now, though, how this text says they are such a great reward. There are many reasons children are a great reward. But this text gives to us something specific that Solomon was led by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write. Verse 4 says that our children, the children of believers, God's special heritage, they are like arrows in our hands. Like arrows. Verse 4 says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Great reward indeed. Let's see that. Children, like arrows, are used to protect God's church against enemies. Children, like arrows, are used to protect God's church against enemies. We need to understand the figure that is being given to us in verse 4. These arrows that are in the hands of a mighty man, they are like weapons that can be used in the defense of that mighty man's city. Just take that picture and imagine a bunch of enemies gathering to come against this mighty man and his city behind him. And this mighty man, he has some arrows. And he can use those arrows. Those arrows are like weapons that can be used to defeat, to put down that enemy, and to defend his city. And in the defending of his city, those arrows are ultimately serving to the good of that city. These arrows are serving to the protection of the city and ultimately to the good of it. with peace, and with the putting away of those enemies, the city can be built up, can be increased, can be advanced, can go forward and conquer. So keep that picture in mind now as we see that children are like arrows, the text says. Children serve in the protection of the church against enemies. God ultimately protects the church in Jesus Christ. God is the protector, and in Jesus Christ has defeated all of our enemies on the cross. The devil, the world, our own sinful flesh. But those enemies, like the devil and the world and our sinful flesh, they don't just give up. They don't just roll over. No, they keep fighting, keep trying to bring us back into bondage to sin and into destruction. But God continues to protect today. And He actually uses instruments or tools to protect the church. And this text says that He gives arrows or children of believing parents. Those are God's tools that He uses in the protection of the church. Verse 5 shows how the children of believers in Israel were like arrows. Shows how they were like arrows. At the end of verse 5, it says that these children shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. That's how they're serving like arrows. Speaking to the enemies, defending the city. Well, let's understand that verse a little bit better. The gate of the city that this verse is speaking of, the gate was a place where judgment was made and where counsel was given. Oftentimes, the elders in Israel and other men would meet at the gates of the city of Jerusalem. That's the gate Solomon's talking about. That's his city, Jerusalem. That's where God's people lived. And the elders in Israel would go there to those gates, discuss things, put down the lie, set forth the truth, those kind of things. Well, the children of Israel, God's church, they had enemies. Maybe enemies within, sometimes enemies without, that would come to those gates and speak to the elders or speak to the rest of the men there. And these enemies, they were those who hated God's people. They saw the lives of the people of Jerusalem, God's children in the Old Testament. They saw those people's lives as a constant witness against their own lives of sin. So they hated the lives of the godly. They wanted to put them down. So these enemies would speak to the men at the gates, trying to foil the leaders, make them look foolish, make their views look foolish, so that the people might be influenced. If they could get to the leaders, they could get to the people and destroy God's church in Jerusalem. Now the psalmist said that the children given for a heritage would speak to those enemies in the gates and they would not be ashamed. Shame is the embarrassment or humiliation that comes when one is defeated. Sometimes that shame can be so bad that one just cowers back and lets the enemy go through. I've been defeated. I look foolish. And everyone else sees that too. But the psalmist said that the children of believers, as they got older and as they came to speak at those gates, they were not going to be ashamed. No, they were going to speak boldly. They're going to speak confidently the truth over against the lie. They're going to set forth the truth over against the lie in defense of the people of God in the city of Jerusalem. This activity would serve in the protecting of God's people. It would serve in the overall good of the city of Jerusalem and God's people there. The people all would see those lies of the enemy defeated. They would know about that. And then the truth would continue to be able to go forth, continue to advance to the good of all the people in the city of God. So God protected Jerusalem through those instruments, those covenant children, the inheritance that grew up to defend the church. Now let's look at the application of that figure or that truth to believers today. Children of believers today, they too are like arrows serving in the defense of the church against the enemies. We have enemies that come to the gates. We don't have physical city gates like Jerusalem had. But we know that all around us lives the world. And the world does not like us. Not really. They may act like they do, but they really do not. They do not like the church, especially when those members are living godly lives. The members of those godly lives are a witness against their own. They hate seeing that. And so what the world does is they do whatever they can to change the views of the people of the church. Whatever they can. They want to make us stop living the way we are. At work, at college, through the TV, through the internet. They tell us, this is what you should think about God. This is what you should think about the church. This is what you should think about our entertainment. This is where it's at. This is the good life. The fun life. Follow us. The world's doing that all around us. We know it. And it's not just the world who comes to the gates or is all around us, but the false church is too. The false church is all around us also. The false church is right at the door, and they're always seeking to bring in false doctrine here. That's what they want. They want the church of Jesus Christ on this earth to teach that man contributes in some way to his salvation. They want the church, the true church, to quit preaching the word, to quit the Christ-centered preaching, to quit Christian discipline, to quit the administration of the sacraments. That's what they want. They hate seeing that we do that. False church is seeking destruction. But the children, that heritage that God gives to us, they will speak to those enemies. And as verse 5 says, they will not be ashamed. They're like arrows going forth in defense of the church and the truth. Oh yes, they do this when they're young. They do already. We've seen evidence of that. As parents have seen evidence of our children already defending the truth when they're young. But especially as these children grow older, they will continue to defend the church. When they grow up and the boys take positions of leadership in the church, an elder, a deacon, or a minister, they're defending the truth. Even as fathers in the home, every father in the home is defending the truth over against the lie of the world. And certainly mothers have a very important place in that too. Mothers who are at home with their children throughout the day, pointing out, that's not what we watch on the television. We live to serve the Lord, our God. Defending the truth, defending the church. When false doctrine too tries to creep into the church, Those little boys and girls grown up, those little covenant gifts, they grow up to be defenders against false doctrine too, saying, no, this is what we know to be the truth. This is what we were taught. That's the lie, and I will show you from God's word that I learned from a very young age. That's how the church of God's people is protected. God uses our children as marvelous weapons. With the lie turned back, the church continues to grow in the truth. The church continues to be built up in the faith. And that word continues to go forth. God's church is gathered, built up. So what a gift, what a reward our children are. Like arrows defending. Now to protect the church against these enemies, to protect the church against these enemies, these children that we have, they must be shaped, aimed, and released like an arrow. Shaped, aimed, released like an arrow. The text again says, verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. So picture again that mighty man. Having the goal of protecting his city against the enemy coming, that mighty man, he shapes his arrows, he aims them, he releases them. First, that mighty man shapes them. An arrow cannot be crooked. If that arrow is crooked, it is not going to serve much good. He might shoot it and aim it at the enemy, but it's not going to hit. The arrow has to be straight. So that's what he seeks to do. He seeks to shape it. Second, that mighty man, he aims the arrow. He doesn't just fire it randomly into the air. No, he looks for the enemy. He aims. And last, he releases. He releases with the hope that that arrow will hit the enemy, will serve to the defense of his city. Aim, or shapes, aims, releases. Well, that's a picture of what we do. With the goal that our children, our special covenant children, serve in the protection of the church. With that goal, we shape, we aim, we release our children. Covenant parents shape or prepare their children. They prepare them to fight well against the enemies. Covenant parents certainly shape and prepare their children to do many things in this life. They prepare them to have a job of some sort. They teach them maybe a certain skill or trade, preparing them in that way. Maybe they teach their children a certain game or a sport. They prepare them to play that sport. They can get exercise in that way. Those are legitimate activities. But covenant parents, all of us here this afternoon, covenant parents, remember that these children you've been given, these are God's children. And they are first and foremost to be shaped for the defending of God's church, for the protection of His people. That's the goal of them. We prepare them for battle then, as covenant parents. We prepare them for battle by teaching them their catechism. That's a priority. We prepare them by having family devotions. That's a priority. We prepare them by living godly lives, being godly examples unto them. Prepare them. Teach them, too, that Christ is the only way of salvation. We teach them to look to Christ. Now understand that we shape them all in dependence upon God. That's what this whole psalm is about. Verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So we seek to prepare them for battle, all in dependence upon God, going to Him in prayer, praying that He would use our instruction for that child's good and ultimately for the good of the church. Shape them in dependence upon the Lord. We know that we can never touch that child's heart. We can never make that child truly believe in Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do to give them faith. That's from God. Depend upon Him. Covenant parents first shape their children. In the second place, covenant parents aim their children at the defeat of the enemies and the service of God's church. We do not aim them ultimately at becoming wealthy or famous or becoming the best basketball player in the city. That's not what we're doing. That's not our goal. We aim them ultimately at the protection of God's people, the defending of God's name. We teach them, seeking that they go forth into the college classroom, seeking that they go forth into the workplace, and there defend the church, defend the truth. We teach them, aiming that they be leaders in their homes one day, teaching and instructing their children in the truth over against the lie. We teach them, aiming that these young boys one day be office bearers, Lord willing, in the church, defending against the error and the lie that abounds in these last days. That's what we're doing. And we also aim them in dependence upon God. We pray that He will use them in His service. So shape, aim, and last, covenant parents release their children in dependence upon God. Release them. The arrow must be released from the bow. So also the covenant child eventually must be released from the home. It's released into the workplace or college or into married life. And covenant parents, when that happens, release and dependence upon God, trusting in Him. Parents who have had children leave, they know all about that. as those children leave, the covenant parents see that they taught those children in weakness. They start to think of all their failures, all the things they could have done better. It's when we go to God praying for forgiveness, we also go to Him in dependence, praying that God would use that child, use your instruction, even though you're a weak means, even use your instruction for that child's good and ultimately for the defense and good of the church. Pray, lean upon God in Jesus Christ. Only the one who made the arrow, only He can make that arrow fly true, fly straight, defeat, or serve in the defense of the church. By grace, people of God, this is the way that was just described. This is the way in which the church is defended. This is the way in which the church is built up. The covenant children are shaped, they're aimed, they're released. And God uses these covenant children to defend the truth, to put down the lie, to serve the church and the advancement of the truth. That's the way He works. Now this comparison to the man with the bow and arrow, this shows to us that we parents certainly have a great responsibility. The defense of the church, the building up of the church, spread of the truth, that all depends upon God. And God certainly will use our children, our covenant children, in the defense of the church. He will use them in the building up of the church and in the service of those things. But that does not mean that we just sit around and do nothing as parents. Shape them. Train them up in godliness. Aim them. Release them in dependence upon Him. You know your weaknesses, people of God. So today and every day, seek God's grace as you do these things. As you shape them and aim them, seek God's grace. Do what Christian parents have been doing for 6,000 years. Leaning upon Christ to give them strength to do this work. Leaning upon Christ, the one who has a very large family, all the elect. And Christ, remember, is a sympathetic Savior. He knows what you're going through. Lean upon Him to give you strength to teach them in the right way, every day, day after day, till they leave, till they're ready. And lean upon Him, too, to make that instruction effectual in their hearts so that it truly does serve to the defense of God's people, to their protection. Lean upon Christ. Our children are a heritage. Our children are a reward. Serve in the protection of us. And thus, those who have a quiver full, and we, the church, who in a real sense have a quiver full, many children, we're very happy. There's happiness in having a full quiver of children. Verse 5 says, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." The mighty man who has a quiver full of arrows, he's certainly happy. He's got those enemies coming at him, but he has a quiver full of arrows. He has a tool to hold many arrows, and he uses all of them in the defense of the church, and it serves to the protection of his city. So the more arrows he has, the happier he is. Well, same thing is true of the father who has a quiver full or a house full of children. He's even more happy than that man who just has those arrows. He has a quiver full of children, God's covenant blessings. He sees those little children speaking to others of the things of Jesus Christ. He sees them grow older, make confession of faith. He sees them, one as they grow older yet, become leaders in the church, become moms and dads in the home promoting the truth. That makes that man very happy. Very happy. He sees God is working for His great glory through those children. And the more covenant children he has then, the better. The more that defend God's church and serve God's church, the better. He sees them as a great blessing. And we all of us, the whole church is happy when there are children. The more covenant children we have here, the better. The church is happy as we see these young little children growing up in the fear of the Lord. The church is happy as they see these children, covenant heritage, grow older, defend the truth. So people of God, let's rejoice today as we see the covenant gifts around us, as we look at our own homes, we see the marvelous work that God is doing. Let's rejoice in God, the one who's given us these rewards. Let's pray. Pray for more. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, O God, children that thou hast given to us are a heritage, a great reward. What gifts they are, gracious gifts, and may we see them that way. And seeing what thou hast done for us, may we instruct them, may we shape them, and we seek to aim them in the right way. And may our children grow up and serve in the defense of us, thy people, to thy glory and the good of the church.